few short ideas I want to present to you from this sefer called Yisrael VeHazmanim. Excellent set of somebody by Rusov, David Rusov. He wrote a few svarim on the Chadashim. Last year I spent a lot of time on this sefer with you. There were a few chapters that I noticed I didn't go through. So I want to, I just spent some time yesterday reading through a few of these chapters, and he has some interesting ideas. Things that I'm going to try to tell you are not complete ideas, just things that I caught my attention. I found them to be interesting, and perhaps they'll be interesting to you as well. Okay, the first thing is Haman. Let's start with a little background about Haman Harasha. Haman, we all know, was a descendant of Agag, right? Haman is from Amalek. Haman is from Agag. The question is, now Agag was a direct blood descendant of Eliphaz, Amalek. Amalek is from Eliphaz. Eliphaz from Esav. Who was Haman? Who was Agag's? Oh, that was Haman. Now, Agag had a child the night that Shaul did not kill delayed in killing Agag. That evening he fathered a child. And the question was, who was that woman? From which nation was that? So we don't really know much about that woman. One thing that we seem to know is that she was not from the nation of Amalek, which means that Haman, who was a descendant of Agag, from his father's side, he was a descendant of Agag, Amalek. But Haman from his mother's side was not a descendant of Amalek. And this explains why the Megillah makes mention that Mordechai was a unique blend from Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. When the Megillah begins, it says, Ish Yimini, Haya Bishushan Habir Ushma Mordechai. Ish Yehudi, Ish Yehudi, Haya. So on the one hand, he's called Ish Yehudi, he comes from Shevet Yehuda, but on the other hand, he's Ish Yimini. He's an Isham Shevet Binyamin. So he has a unique blend of being a descendant of Binyamin and Shevet Binyamin, which comes from Yosef and from Yehuda. And we know that, why did Mordechai have to be a descendant of Binyamin who was a descendant of Yosef? Because tradition teaches us that Esav will only fall in the hands of Yosef. Amalek, the descendant of Esav, who the antagonist against Klal Yisrael, will only fall in the hands of Yosef. V'hoyu beis Yaakov le'esh uveis Yosef le'hava. Yaakov will be a esh and Yosef will be a le'hava. Amalek has to fall in the hands of Shevet Binyamin. However, the Umos Ha'olam, I'm just giving this Rosh Hashanah, I don't have all the details worked out, but the Umos Ha'olam will not fall in the hands of Yosef. The Umos Ha'olam, the time of Mashiach, will fall in the hands of Yehuda. So this explains why Mordechai had to be a combination of Yehuda and Binyamin. Because Haman was also a combination of Amalek and the Umos Ha'olam. Haman, from his father, was a descendant of Amalek, but Haman, from his mother, was a descendant of the Umos Ha'olam. Tradition teaches us that the Umos Ha'olam will fall b'achris hayamim in the hands of Shevet Yehuda. Lo yosor Shevet Yehuda mechayik mibein Ragov. David HaMelech, he will be Mashiach, he will be the one that will be leichem melchemes Hashem. But Amalek has to fall in the hands of Yosef. Haman was a mix. He was a mix of Amalek from the father, from the mother, the Umos Ha'olam, and therefore Zel Umazeh, it was necessary that Mordechai, the savior of Klal Yisrael, also have this mix. From the father, he was a descendant of Binyamin, but from his mother, he was a descendant of Yehuda, Ish Yehudi, and that way he was the perfect match for Haman Harasha. Okay, another idea. We have two words in the middle to describe the word goyim.
He was a boy or girl?
Who?
The son of
Agag?
Agag, yeah.
Agag, do we know? I don't know. Luchari was a boy.
Probably
Probably because he's saying Ben Achaben.
His wife could have been a... Jewish girl.
Who knows? That's another very popular Chassam Sofer, that Haman was Jewish.
Did he get a Jewish girl?
Haman, of course.
The only girl from Shaul captured them, who was there? They were all Jewish. He killed all of them out except Agag. So there was the one guy in the Jewish
girl. Haman. We know that the Chassam Sofer is very powerful. Chassam Sofer. Haman was Jewish. Haman, there's a man. The Medrash says that early, when Haman and Mordechai were young, they were sent on a mission by, I don't know if it was Achashverosh, could be Achashverosh, by some other king. They were sent on a mission to conquer a country, and they had to hire. They were given a lot of money to hire mercenaries to succeed. And the king, whoever this king was, gave half the money to Mordechai, half the money to Haman. They arrived. Haman went to a bar, and he spent all the money the king gave him. He gambled it all away. The next day, they went out to war, and they hired these mercenaries, and they won. And now it came time to pay the mercenaries. So Mordechai paid his half, and the other half that was supposed to be paid by Haman, he didn't have money. So Haman said to Mordechai, do me a favor, lend me money. I don't have any money. Lend me from your money, and otherwise if we go back home to the king, we tell the king what happened, I spent all the money, I gambled it all away in the bar, and he's going to kill me. So Mordechai said, I'm not giving you any money, you're shemasa, you lost all the money. The only thing I'll do is, if you'll be my slave, if you'll be my eved, then I grant you, I will give it to you. So this is a very early stage of Haman's life was threatened. And Haman agreed to be the slave of Mordechai. He sold his soul to Mordechai. Mordechai paid the bill, and he was an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is chayv in tzvila mila. According to some farshim, he even had a bris mila because he was the slave of Mordechai. He had tzvila mila. He was chayv b'mitzvahs kenoshin, like an isha. Mitzvah say sheiras man gomer. He was chayv.
That's why his wife
is a slave. And Masha Kansa Evid Kansa Rabba. That's why Haman Mordechai always reminds him that everything, all of his success, all of his wealth, all of his assets really belong to Mordechai. Masha Kana Evid Kana Rabba. Mordechai refused to bow down to Mordechai lo yichav lo yishtachaveh, because Mordechai said, what kind of business? I'm the master, you're the slave, you rebelled against me, you broke away. But it comes out something really bizarre that Haman al pi halacha was Jewish. How could it be that
he was
a goy, was a Nebuchadnezzar, which has the status of a Jew? Look at even Hitler. Hitler, they say Hitler was saved by, when he was a baby, he was saved by a Jew.
No, they say his mother also.
His mother was Jewish?
No, she had relations with some Jews.
With the Jews, his mother. But there's a Mai Shahoy, when his life was in danger. Hitler's life was in danger when he was an infant. And a Jew came along and saved his life. So how could he have such hatred for the Jews when the Jews, they saved his life? That just goes to show the biggest Jew haters are the Jews themselves. And unfortunately, we know to some degree it's true. Not 100%, but Haman...
You know, someone just recently, I don't want to mention his name, took this Chassam Sofer.
Yeah.
And he said that Mordechai was an assimilated Jew. He knew the story of Haman. They were both generals.
Yeah.
And that's why Mordechai knew all the languages, because he was... He knew how this, and there was this personal feud between them when the king gave to be
elevated Haman,
and he wanted to kill Mordechai.
So he's making the whole story.
He didn't know that Mordechai was Jewish until finally someone told him, "You know, he's Jewish." He says, "I'm going to get rid of all the Jews," and then Mordechai suddenly realized that he was Jewish. And that's when they made it into a modern story.
All right. Megillas Lester. Did you see Megillas Lester? Gotta see it. I don't know. I didn't see it yet. It's a lot of... I saw the preview. I saw the preview. Okay, we have two words. We have two words for a goyel. Hipil poor, hu ha goyel. What is the difference between the word poor and the word goy? One is a Persian word, poor. They both mean the same thing, a Persian word, and goy is a Hebrew word. But being that Chazal used these, to incorporate these two words into the Megillah, it's a deeper meaning. Poor in Hebrew means to crumble. Pasuk says, "His poor, his sporo eretz." The earth will crumble. Goyrol means to accomplish. Goyrol is something which is used to the goyrol yecholek esaretz. Okay, through a lottery. So the Gemara makes a drasha. He pil poor hu ha goyrol. The goyrol of Haman. The reason why Chazal put these two words together, according to the opinion of who said the Bnei Yisachar, is is that the goyrel, it's a play on the words, the goyrel of what Haman tried to accomplish would crumble. It's not just that we're taking the two words which are similar. Chazal do this very often. They take Greek words, and in the Greek word they find some allusion to something more significant. The goyrel of Haman, what he tried to accomplish, was really nothing more than a poor. It's a poor. What's a poor? It's also a girl. But from our perspective, it crumbled. It collapsed, and he did himself in with his own evil. Okay, let's go to another idea. Why was Haman? This is like from the Kasaf Sefer. Why was Haman so excited that the girl fell on Chodesh Adar? Because Moshe Rabbeinu died. So what Moshe Rabbeinu died? Every single month people die. Go look at the Flappish Jewish Journal. the yard sites. Take out every single week. There's the yard site of this one and that one. There's a gadol that died every single day. So they didn't have gadol that died every single day. The holy people died every single day. So it's something very profound, because the only one that we find that it was shikhas haTorah that was attributed to his death was Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, Chazal say 3,000 halachos were lost due to Evlei Shel Moshe. There are many gedolim that die, but you don't hear that when this gadol died, the mourning was so intense that they forgot a mesechta. They forgot 3,000 halachas. You don't find that. You find that they die, so there's mourning, there's sad, there's a bad mazel. But when Torah is forgotten from Klal Yisrael, that's a different madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu died, Chazal say, the Evlei Shel Moshe, 3,000 halachas were forgotten, and we need Ostil Ben Kenas to return those halachas. That already shows that it's a different type of Betira, and that's why Haman was so happy. And that's why Kimu V'Kiblu, the whole Avodah Purim is Fakert, is a new Kabbalah in order to mechazeg oneself in learning Torah. Okay, let's go to the Gzer. This I never knew. This seems to be very Pablo of art, but it's a chiddush to me that the Haman sent two different Gzeros. First Gzer was called, when he sent the letters to the Medinos, the 127 Medinos, is Bes Pashegen Kisav Hadas. There's a Pashegen. Yes, Pashegen Kisav Hadas. What is a Pashegen? All it said that was an edict that was sent to all the Medinos, and all it said there was, be ready. Be ready, Lihios Asidim Layom Hazeh. He told them that on the 13th day of Adar, on the 13th day, he selected a day on the 13th day of Adar, everyone should be ready to do something. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm not telling you. There was a second letter that was sent and that was sealed, which had the exact law to Lahashmir Laharugul Abid is called Ayud Minavi Azokin Tafi Amchar. So it was interesting, it's a very big secret. This is part of his technique, part of his plan. If he would have let the people know a year in advance what the plan was, that in 1 year from now we're all going to go and destroy the Jews, they would have fled. But you listen, where are they gonna flee? Where are they gonna flee the 127 Medinas? Don't worry, leave it to the Jews. they'll go to Mars. They'll find somewhere to flee to. He did not want to give them an opportunity they should even know what's happened. All he did was he sent this very mysterious type of letter, secret letter. Everyone, a Pashegen Kesav Hadas was issued, that everyone should be ready, should be prepared, Lihios Asidim Layom Hazeh. And on this day, a year later, we're going to open up this secret letter, we're going to reveal the secret letter, we're going to tell everyone, like, we're going to have these different tzavos from Gedolim, that there was a certain girl who died, a Makubal who died, and he said, that a tzavah, and he made it, gave it, you should not open the tzavah until the first yard site. You heard about this? It was many, many years ago. There was nothing really there. And it was like everyone was a big makubo. Everyone was thinking, who knows, they're going to reveal who Mashiach is, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And they waited a whole year until the Ziyarat site, and they opened up the letter, and I don't know, there was nothing really significant, nothing really came of it. But that's exactly what Haman did. It was exactly, that's why in the Megillah we have these two psukim, Gesundheit, two psukim in the Megillah telling us to be ready for this particular day. Okay, let's go to another idea. I'm jumping around trying to remember the good stuff here. Okay, here, that's where it was. The Pashagin Kesaf Hadas. And the second letter was Lahash Lahadin Skolabidin Minar 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 Diad Zokain. Oh, one second. There's something good I wanted to tell you. Yeah, this is very interesting. I don't know what this means. Just something to think about. How did Haman and his 10 sons die? They were hung. Now, in the Torah, what is hanging? I don't know what this means. Just throwing out an idea. In the Torah, there are four types of misa: the skila, strefa, chenek, and herik. Talia, hanging, death by hanging, is not in the Torah. This is not a form of misa in the Torah. Talia in the Torah comes after. There are four types of death. There's skila, strefa, herik, chenek. A person that has skila, kol haniskolin, only people that are killed through skila, which include only many two categories, avodah zara and birchas hashem, haniskolin, they are hung. After they are already dead, then they are hung up on a tree for a few minutes. They're put there just for a few moments to be as a bezoyin for the mace, and then they're taken down. This concept that the way a person is put to death is through tlia is new. It's novel. This is something that is new to the Megillah. We take this for granted. Today it was done in Eretz Yisrael after World War II. All the Nazi criminals, they were all publicly hung. That's how they were killed. That's not one of the forms of Misas Bezdin. There's no such thing. Misas Bezdin is done through Skila, Shrev, Herik, Chenek. Then Taliyah is done afterwards to the body. Haman and his 10 sons were actually executed through Taliyah, and not only that, they were left hanging for a very long period of time. According to one opinion, they were left hanging for a year until the following year. Other opinion, they were only hung for a couple of days, for a short period of time. But it is something that requires further study. Why is Taliyah the appropriate form of Misa for Haman, when in the Torah Taliyah is not a form of Misa Spezdin? It's only something which comes after the Misa as a bezoyin for a short period of time. Okay, interesting. How old was Esther at the time of the Megillah? So there are many opinions. Some learn that she was 75 years old. Some learn she was 74. Based on the gematria, said how old she was. Mordechai was somehow, he was 90 years old. I actually have over here all different opinions. He was 90, he was maybe a little bit younger, a little bit older. That's very strange, right? 90 years old. Esther was also, she was 80, she was 70, but she was no spring chicken. And yet, chut shel chesed, she was the one who brought about the miracle. There were two, just a idea, there are two svarim that are written written, whose sefer is called by an Isha, Esther and Rus. So there must be some significance in the 24th Sifrei HaTanakh, why specifically these two, Esther and Rus, are the only two that, there are Shiv Nevios, there are seven women who gave over Nevuah to Klal Yisrael, but only two of those seven, Esther and Rus, had a sefer written in their name. Okay, I don't even know if Rus was one that counts one of the seven, but she does have a sefer to her name. Why was it necessary that there were two different people in the Megillah? We have Esther and we have Mordechai. Esther, because there were two enemies. We have Haman and Ahasuerus. Esther was against Ahasuerus, and Mordechai was against Haman. So it's necessary for there to be this unique type of miracle. Most of the miracles that we're accustomed to, there's only one savior. There's one antagonist, and there's one savior. The miracle of Purim is two. There is Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther correspond to Haman and Ahasuerus. Okay, another thing is we have gold and silver. The Gezerah was done through Haman giving Ahasuerus 10,000 talents of kesef, silver. Question is, why didn't Haman pay Ahasuerus with gold? Why did he only pay Ahasuerus with silver? So this is a more Kabbalistic approach. Silver represents rachamim. Gold is din. We once had a discussion of this idea, gold and silver. Chazal say that if Haman would have paid Achashverosh for Klal Yisrael with gold, then there would not have been any hope. Because then that would have represented the idea that this gezeirah is being brought upon Klal Yisrael with midas hadin. There's no solution. What did Haman do? What did Achashverosh do? Achashverosh said to Haman, "Hakesef nasun loch v'ha'om lasos bo katol beinecha." What did Achashverosh give Haman? Keep the kesef and instead take for yourself my tabas. His tabas was a tabas of zohof. So in between the lines, this is more of a Hasidic type of drasha, is that Haman, Achashverosh, to a certain degree, was even worse than Haman. Chazal say this. Achashverosh had even more hatred for Klal Yisrael than Haman. Haman only wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael with kesef. I'm willing to give you 10,000 talents of silver. Kesef is not so bad, because kesef in the world of Hasidic literature represents kisuf and represents midas harachamim. Zohov represents midas hadin. Achashverosh said to Haman, "Hakesef nasuloch, v'ha'om lasos bo katol beinecha." And what Achashverosh, we gave him his signet ring, which is a ring that was made, it says in the pasuk, on the pasuk in front of me, was made from gold. His tabas was a tabas shel zohov. So don't issue the gezerah through giving me money of kesef, because that has rachamim. Let's go for the jugular. I'll give you instead the tabash el zov, which is midas hadin, which will be a gezerah which Klal Yisrael will not be able to be oimed upon. Okay, I think that pretty much, let me just see if I have anything else. Okay, I'll quit while I'm ahead. Mirat Hashem, we'll pick this up. Yes, Mirat Hashem, yes. 9:30.